Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Your joy or your smile. God has blessed you and has better plans for you. And you may say, oh, that's just a simple note. But sometimes we need those simple little reminders to know that God cares about us. Because I was going through and I was trying to press my way through and changing my attitude to think, okay, I'm gonna focus on God. I'm gonna make it a great day. And when I saw that, I was like, okay. And I was like, I put it up in my cube. And it was funny, my coworker, she laughed at me. She was like, you really kept that? I'm like, yeah. So that whenever I'm going through different things, I can look over and see it and say, okay, I'm gonna shift my focus. And I'm gonna remember that God has better plans for me. No matter what, He has better plans for me. And so the first scripture I'm gonna go to is John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. Let me see if my Bible's going a little slow. So John chapter 15. You have it on the screen? All right. John 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. A lot of times we think, oh, it's me, me, me. Let me get to that next level. Let me get to that promotion. Let me just get this interview. Let me do everything. And we're saying, me, 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 let me. But we have to remember that God is in control. We have to let God be in control. We have to continue to remember that we want to allow Him to lead us and guide us. And we have to remember that without Him, we can do nothing. I have to remind myself, without Him, I could do nothing. So I can just say, okay, I'm going to do this, and a door will close. No, God, I'm putting in this application, and I'm going to see you move. I'm going to do this. But if it's not the right timing, if it's not the avenue He wants you to go down, then that door will close. So I went on some interviews, and I was pumped up, and I was excited. And God said, no, it's not time yet. And I said, oh, man. Because I'm trying to do it out of my own strength. But when I shift my focus and I begin to say, okay, God, let me just focus on while I'm here, let me just do it to the best of my ability. Even though I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now, let me continue just to do what I know how to do and continue to do it in excellence and continue to do it with a good attitude. When I shift my focus off of that, then God begins to move things in my favor. God begins to change the atmosphere around. God begins to change things around. But we have to shift our focus off of us, off of our desires, off of the problems, and remember the God we serve. We get caught up in things and we forget who's the maker of all things. So we try and do things on our own. We're trying to do it and trying to make things happen, but we have to remember who it is that we serve. A lot of times we get frustrated and we're saying, man, God, I got this and this happening. I got these bills I need to pay. I got this and this. And we're fussing at God and yelling at God instead of saying, God, I thank you because you're awesome. And this problem right here, I can't handle it. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to get paid next week. I don't know how it's going to work. But God, I know that you're awesome. I know you're a big God and you're going to step into this situation and you're going to handle it for me. I know that you are able to do it. So I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to be quiet. But I'm going to continue to know that God's in control. And when we begin to speak to that situation and tell that situation, I serve a bigger God. So you may throw the different things at me, but I'm going to stand firm on His word and I'm going to know that He's with me. Because like I spoke before, when the three guys got into the fiery furnace, God got in there with him. God got in there with them. He could have just delivered them out just so they could just be healed and be fine. But no, He got in there with them so they could see that while you're going through, I'm in the fight with you. We have to remember He gets in the fight with us. We a lot of times feel like we're all alone, but God is there with us. Amen. John 16 and 33, it says, John 16 and 33. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but for a good cheer, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. God has already won the case. He's already won for us, but we have to continue to be of good cheer. So when it doesn't look like you're getting a way out, when it doesn't look like you have the money in your bank account, continue to know that, okay, my God got it. My God's in control. I love the way that when we were going through different things and the people would call Marquise on the phone, man, you know you got this bill due. And you know what he said? You know what? I understand that, but my God got it. Well, when are you going to have it? When God gives it to me, and then you'll have it. And that would blow their mind, like, wait, what? Even you heard Pastor Harold say that too. When God gives it to me, then I'll give it to you. And they're like, well, can we expect it next week? Can we set up a payment plan? No, when God gives it to me, then you'll get your money. But you have to have faith. They were stepping out on faith that God's going to meet the need. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know when, but God's going to meet the need. We have to rely on God. We have to stop getting so frustrated and getting down on ourselves, but we have to look to who our help comes from. Amen. I heard this quote a while ago, and it was by Mike Tyson. It said, everyone has a plan until they get hit in the face. But once you get hit in the face, what is your reaction? How are you reacting? Because us as Christians, we get hit sometimes and then our flesh come out and we're ready to hit somebody back. Or we're faced with all this different trouble and we're reacting in a bad way. But we have to remember, we're the only Jesus some people may see every day. Every day. Every day. So we're not prepared when we get hit with things, but we have to know how to react. Amen. And one way we can react is in prayer. You say, well, how's that reacting? That's me telling God about my situation. That's me laying everything at his feet and say, God, I can't handle it. Me by myself, I can't do it. I don't know how to fix this situation, but I need you to step in. I need you to move in this situation. And that's one way we have to react. I was reminded, God reminded me of when I got saved. When I really got saved, well, I say when I really got saved, because when I got saved when I was younger and I said the sinner's prayer because I didn't want to go to hell. But when I really got saved, it took me getting to a dark, deep point in my life where I felt like there was no one around. And so when I got in my room and I said, okay, enough is enough, and I began to cry out to God and begin to pray, as I'm praying, there was different things going on in our household at the time. My mom and my stepdad were fighting. My sisters were, you know, they were trying to figure out if they wanted to live with my mom or go stay with my dad. There was just different things going on in our household. And there was so much going on. And as I began to keep praying, God began to shift things in the atmosphere. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, I began to allow God to come into the situation. So not only did I want him to fix my situation, what I was going through, and with me wanting to have a real relationship with him, but also I wanted him to fix things in our household. So as I began to pray, then my stepdad said, oh man, I need to go pray. My mom came in there trying to figure out what was going on, because I was like, enough is enough. God, I need you not just to fix me, but I need you to fix everyone else. That's me telling God about my situation and allowing him to step in and begin to move. Allowing him to be able to move in the situation and not let me get sucked into all that. But to know that I serve an awesome God, a faithful God, a faithful God. There is another scripture I want to go to. We're going to go to James. James chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse 2. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible because it breaks it down a little bit more for you guys. So it'll be a little different. But James chapter 2, or chapter 1, sorry, starting at verse 2. It says, consider it nothing joy, My brothers and sisters, when you fall into various trials, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let the endurance have its perfect result through work, so that you may be perfect and completely develop in your faith, lacking nothing. And if someone lacks wisdom, and if any of you lack wisdom to guide you through the decision or circumstances, he is to ask God, who gives everyone generously without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. But you must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting. God's willing to help, for the one who doubts is like blown about, tossed by the wind. And when I read this, it amazes me, because he tells us that we're going to be tried. We're going to be tested in all different kind of areas in our life. But being tested is producing endurance. And as you're being tested and it's producing endurance, you have to ask God to begin to work in the situation. And that's where faith comes. He begins to give you that faith to know that, okay, if I believe, God will move in this situation. But then he tells us not to doubt. That one right there is a hard one. Because when we don't see it, that's where doubt tries to creep in. But we have to continue just to trust in God and know that he'll help us through. So I can stand firmly on his word, because he told me that he would help me. When you're studying for an exam, man, these are hard tests. You don't know what to do. You're frustrated. But as you're studying, you're like, am I going to even remember this? A lot of times I know for me, when I'm reading the Bible, I'm like, God, am I going to really remember? But let me tell you, when you need it the most, you may not know exactly, oh, it's in John. No, maybe it's in Matthew. I don't know where it is, but I know the word says this. He brings it back to your remembrance. And a lot of times, it's not even for me to be telling someone else the scripture, because I always thought, okay, I need to know the word because I got to tell someone else about it. But a lot of times, I'm telling myself. A lot of times, I'm going through different things, and God said, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And I'm like, oh, okay, God. Thank you. You told me this is going to happen. Okay, now, God, I need you to help me. God, I believe you can help me through this test. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when, but God, I need your help. But we have to ask God for his wisdom, for his help. In here it says, but he must ask for wisdom and faith without doubting. It's hard for us sometimes to ask for things and think it's going to happen. Because sometimes, man, when we needed money for our mortgage, I was like, man, Lord, this is a lot of money. And he reminded me, I'm a big God. And I said, okay, God, I believe you could do it. But then part of me was like, okay, should we do this? And you're trying to think of this plan in your head, and you have to just let go and say, okay, God, I can't do it. God, I don't know what to do, but God, I give it to you. It takes us shifting our focus off the situation and off of in the natural how we're going to do it, but us giving it to God and say, okay, God, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know where it's going to come from, how it's going to happen, but God, I believe you're going to do it. One of our old pastors, Pastor Nate of Victorious Life, he reminded me, I remember him saying that God had told him that they're supposed to get a building, and he didn't know how it was going to happen or when it was going to happen, but he set up the date to meet with them, and he didn't know how it was going to happen. And God just told him, just go to the meeting. He went to the meeting, and while he was there, a man came in, said, I was supposed to give you this money, And the man walked out. You see, if we let God fight our battles and we're faithful to God, then he will handle every situation. No matter what it looks like, no matter how hard it may seem, because in the natural, man don't understand, why would someone just come and just give you their money? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. But the God we serve said, go give them that money. We serve an awesome God who knows, who knows. He knows. He knows everything. But a lot of times we get afraid. And because we don't know how it's going to happen or how it's going to work. Isaiah 41 and 10, it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. We have to speak the word over our lives and know that God is with me. And God said that he would help me. He will strengthen me. This week I was like, God, give me strength. Because I was getting frustrated. Because they're like, okay, do this. Okay, now I want you to do this. Now let's do that. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I need some direction. This is not going to work. So I had to turn on my praise and worship and just be in a worship for a while. Then I had to stop and just pray. And then I was just like, okay, God, help me. And he kept saying, shift your focus. Last week, I was going through different things and different things were happening. He said, shift your focus. I was like, man, God. He just kept reminding me. The different things will come and try and trip you up. But you have to remember where your destiny is. You have to remember the assignment he put you on. And know that he's in control. A lot of times we get anxious. And we want to just do things. Like this week, I said, okay, I'm about to put in some applications because I am done. And part of me wanted to call Marquise to be like, you know what, babe? I'm not even going to give a notice. I'm ready just to leave. Because you get so frustrated in the natural and you just want, you're like, I'm done. I got to walk away. And then you hear God saying, didn't I tell you not to be anxious for nothing? Nothing. In Psalms 94, 19, it says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comfort delight me. We get so anxious and we want to just move and just do things because we get fed up.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
There's another scripture that tells us not to be anxious for nothing. But in everything and take it to God in prayer. And that's what we need to do. One of Marquise's favorite scriptures is Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. But it said, seek first. When we seek God first, and everything, then he handles every situation. Every situation. We think, oh no, I just got to pray about the big ones. No, start praying about the little ones. God, help me while I'm standing out here waiting for this bus. God, I pray, I ask that you help me to be awake and alert so that if a coyote comes that I could be awake and alert. We laugh because that is what I prayed this week. Marquise said that one of our neighbors said he saw one in the complex. And I was like, oh no, Marquise already has seen him up the street a few times. So I said, okay, God, you're going to have to help me. And so I'm standing there. I was like, help me to be awake and alert. And let me look around. Because the other day, Marquise laughed. I had to share this story with him. I was out there and I'm looking for the bus and it's quiet. So I can't, there's no rain going, there's not, it's just totally quiet. And I'm just looking, and out of nowhere, I hear this sound, and I jump, it's my neighbor. And he had came, and he's waiting for the bus. But I was like, man, you can't do that. You got to talk, you got to announce yourself, you got to say, hey, good morning, something. Because, you know, I don't want no coyote running up on me. I already seen other animals that if they stood up, they'd be like up here. I'm like, no. So, you know, a lot of times you have to pray even about the little things. And we say, oh, that's foolish. But God cares about everything. He said, cast your cares on me for I care for you. He didn't say, give me all your big stuff because you can't handle it. No, he said, cast every care on me for I care for you. He cares about everything. Everything. But we have to seek him. In 1 Peter 5:17, it says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. He cares about you. So while you're in school, he cares about you. While Obed's finishing his schooling, he cares about you. While you're home with the kids, he cares about you. Monica, you're waiting for another audition. He's already lining it up because he cares about you. Sister Darshin, while you're at work, oh, he cares. You're like, God, I need you to move in this place. Oh, he cares. While you're at work, Tanya, he does care. Even though you're like, okay, nope, I'm just going to plug in and do what I know. He still cares about you. He cares about everything. And you say, oh, no, I just need to keep going. You know, this, I could do it myself. It's hard when you try and do it yourself. And a lot of times we end up having to go back to him anyway. When you try and step out and do things on your own. Another scripture I'm going to go to is Galatians 6, verse 9, sorry. Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. It's hard, and we don't always see the results. We say, God, I want to be a light, but I'm not. I haven't seen the opportunities to witness to someone. And you may feel like you're not witnessing to people, but you just be having good manners, that's touching some people. You just saying, hello, how are you doing? That's touching some people. And it was interesting because I was in the car today and we were doing Uber Eats while we were heading back from Kayla's game. That's why she's dressed in her basketball attire. While we were heading back and Marquise decided to do Uber Eats, and he's doing Uber Eats. And I love watching him do while he's in action. And you say, why? I just sit and I smile because Marquise is such a friendly person that it's interesting because he's 5'11". And he's a big black dude. And a lot of people, they be like, they're like looking like, hi, and trying to hurry up. And he's like, how are you doing? How was your day? And he's talking to them. They're like, oh, it was good. He's like, yeah, we just came from a basketball game. Thought I'd do some Uber Eats. And they're like, oh, okay. They weren't expecting that. And they're hurrying up and locking their doors and stuff. But I just love seeing him in action. Why? Because even while he's doing Uber Eats, he's, you know, using good manners and he's just sharing. You can see a light coming through him as he's just being, asking how their day is, how they're doing. And a lot of times I hear him, oh, so you got any plans later? Or he's just making small talk. But while he's doing that, it's showing them, okay, you know, everybody's not all closed in, or I don't have to be such a rush. Let me step back and just breathe for a minute. So we have to remember that we can witness to people on a daily basis, even in just what we do. But if we have to make sure that we're witnessing and doing the right thing. Because if I'm at work and I'm wilding out, how is that showing Christ? If I'm at home and I'm just telling my kids, you better sit down or I'm gonna beat you, how is that showing the love of Christ? God gives us grace. And a lot of times we get frustrated and we're ready to tell someone off. But then we want God to give us grace. We have to remember to shift our focus. Stop focusing on the problem and start focusing on our source. Our source. I heard a series not too long ago talking about being plugged in and God being our source. And that is so true, because if you're not getting in your word and you're not on your face, let me tell you, it's hard during the week. It's hard. You get frustrated. You get down. And sometimes you slip up and you lash out. I confess, the other day I got frustrated. A lady was rude to me. I was like, oh, okay, let me send you this email. I did it already and it's done. Stop asking me. And I had an attitude, and then I had to stop and say, okay, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. God, help me to act the right way. So then I went back to her and I said, I'm sorry, what you're looking for, we don't have it. But if you get a copy of it, a copy of what we need, then I can help you. I had to change my attitude. We have to shift our focus and allow ourselves to be plugged into God and plugged into his word and plugged into him. Because when we do that, things begin to change. When you're plugged into God, then he begins to fill you up. So that when you go out there and you're talking to other people, then you can share the right way. Then you can share grace. Then you can love on them the right way and have a better attitude. One scripture I'm going to go to before we leave is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 17. A little background. Abraham wanted a son for a very long time. And finally he prayed and he got a son. His son was Isaac. Sometimes God will test us to see how much we love him, how much we'll be faithful to him. So we're going to read this. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son. Next verse. Of whom he had said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received from him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Well, I want to stop at 19, but let me read this again through the Amplified. It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, that is, he was testing, his faith was still in process, offered Isaac, and he who had received the promise of God was already sacrificed his only son of the promise, of whom he had said, through Isaac, your descendants shall be called. For he had considered it was reasonable to believe that God was able to raise Isaac from among the dead. So God told Abraham to go and offer his son. I don't know anyone in here that would be able to go, God, this is my baby. I got five of them. I'm like, Lord, what? You want me to do what? But God told him to go and take his son. And I'm sure it felt like it was a long distance. Walking up there and his sons, well, hey, Dad, what are we going to sacrifice? What are we about to do? God, and he's telling his son, God will provide. Do you know how hard that would be? The way I see Marquise with his kids, to think God told him, okay, go take Marquise up there. He'd be like, wait, God, you want me to do what? Are you sure? You can't be sure. Are you sure? God, you're going to have something happen. But he was faithful and he took his son up there. And as he laid his son, he told his son, you're going to be the sacrifice. And as he laid his son up there, God showed him, there's a ram over there. You don't have to do it. But because he took those steps of faith, and because he focused on God, and he was obedient to take those steps and say, okay, God, this is hard, but you told me to do it, and I'm going to do it. He didn't stop and say, oh, wait, no, God, this is my only son. He didn't argue and say, okay, I'm not doing it. I'm not going. You're just not going to get a sacrifice today. Because that's how some of us feel when we don't want to sacrifice our time. Like, God, I'm tired. I can't read a chapter before I go to bed. God, I'm too tired. God, I don't have time to pray. So, God, I need you to help me today because I got this audition, but I'm going to keep going. A lot of times if you are doing drive-by prayers, God hears them. But sometimes he's saying, just be in my presence. Let me talk to you. I'm going to do it, but you have to wait. He's trying to tell us something. But nah, man, God ain't hearing me. No, God's always speaking, but we're not always listening. Because a lot of times we're like, God, I don't know if you told me to do that. And he's saying, yeah, I told you. I told you to go over there and tell her that God loves her. Nah, God, you can't be talking to me. Man, I'm crazy. Let me just keep going. I had that happen one time. We were in a church service, and God told me to go and tell someone something. I was like, man, nah, I don't know. I think that was me. So I'm sitting there, and God said, go tell that person. I'm like, nah, I think it's just me. And that time I didn't listen. And someone went to her and told her exactly what I was supposed to go and say. Because if I'm not going to be obedient, he's going to get his word across. So the next time I was like, and I felt so bad, so bad. And I said, God, I will never let that happen again. So then another opportunity presented itself. And of course, I'm always questioning, God, is this you? You got to tell me again if this is you. Because I can't just be going and saying stuff to people. And he said, go and speak to that pastor. And I said, God, you want me to do what? You want me to speak to a pastor? And say, what? He said, go and speak to that pastor and tell them what I want you to say. I said, okay. And I went to the pastor. And I told her what God told me to tell her. And she said, you know what? I was praying on the way to church, just waiting, saying, God, I need a sign today. God, I need to hear from you today. And this is exactly what I prayed about. And I said, okay, thank you, God, thank you for letting me know that as I shift my focus off of myself and thinking, oh, I'm going to sound crazy or I don't know if this is me or what. But when you focus on God and you allow him to work through you, you allow him to give you the boldness you need, you allow him just to direct your path, everything begins to fall into place. Everything begins to fall into place. So this week, as we're going through the week, shift your focus to God. As hard as it may be, and you want to lash out, or you want to do this, or you're getting discouraged, continue to know that as you shift your focus to God, as you rely on God, as you cast your cares at his feet, know that he's handling every situation. And he's not going to just stand out looking like, okay, so what you about to do now? I'm going to see this fall apart. No, he wants to get in the situation with you and help you along the way. Carry you through that storm when you feel like, oh man, I'm all by myself. I sent my friend a picture this week that I saw. I couldn't help but share it because it shows, I don't know if it was a lady or a man, but someone sitting down and you see this hand just over them. And it's like there's a storm going on around them, but there's a hand shielding them. And that's how we have to remember God is to us. When we feel like we're all alone, God, all this stuff is hurting me. Where are you? He said, I'm right here, actually shielding you, because it could have been a lot worse. When you feel like you're all alone, continue just to cry out to God because he's right there with you. He's right there with you. He's right there with you. Lord God, I thank you so much for this week. Lord God, I thank you for this time, Lord God. God, I ask that you would give us the boldness to speak of your loving kindness, to be able to be a, a vessel that you work through, Lord God, that we'd have boldness to continue just to declare your word over our lives, Lord God, and that we'll live it on a day-to-day basis, Lord God, and that we would have boldness to share with someone else this week, Lord God, that we'll shift our focus off of ourselves, off of our desires, and that we will shift our focus to you and you alone, oh God, that we would know that you are God and you are God alone. And that you care about everything. There's nothing too big for you. And there's nothing so small that you'll overlook it, Lord God. God, we know that you are an all-powerful God and that you can handle every situation, oh God. God, we know that there's nothing, nothing too hard for you, oh God. So God, as we shift our focus to you and we allow you to move in the atmosphere around us, we ask that you'll begin to be with us this week. Guide us, Lord God. Help us to be a light to those we come in contact with, Lord God. Help us just to be all that you created us to be, Lord God. That we press into your presence, Lord God. That we get plugged into our source because we know that our help and our strength comes from you and you alone, oh God. So God, we ask that you strengthen us and guide us. We just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We ask that you slip your hands up real quick. If you identify with anything I said and it spoke to you, we're just raising our hands. And as we raise our hands, that's us going to be accountable this week to this word, to shift our focus in every area of our life to what God wants us to do. Amen. Amen. Marquise is pointing at the screen because we have a spring conference. This is our first time doing our spring conference. So it's going to be set up just like we do the one that we do in the fall. So it is going to be on April 12th, 13th, and 14th. And I believe Brother Tamron and Michael are going to be speaking at this one. I'm going to be speaking and another lady. And then also Marquise and someone else will be speaking. And of course, we probably will have music in between that, in between speaking like we normally do. So invite some people out. Remember, it's a free event. And we just want to come together and see people be recharged, stirred up, and remind people they can come just as they are. Because as they come in here, God will change them. God will change them. So let's invite people out to that and remember to come back tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. We ask that you take us home safely. We ask that you bless the refreshments. And we just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.